prostitute. The only foreign object in the whole area was a bouquet of flowers that lay wilting in the mud. Noah guessed Shania Carpenter, Cody's old girlfriend, had placed them there. She'd probably come up here to commemorate the anniversary of when she and Cody had started dating, or became an item, or first made love, or whatever. She'd married, divorced, and had a kid in that order, but she'd never gotten over Cody's death. Neither had Noah. It felt as if a part of him had died that night. And now someone else's life could end the same way. Certain that this entrance wasn't the answer to his problem, he returned to the shaft. He never would have noticed this other opening if not for that cry for help. The boards that had been pried loose were so covered by moss, they blended in with the rest of the scenery. "I'm not going to be able to reach you," he called down. "Is there some other way out? A tunnel that might not be sealed off?" Considering what had happened to his brother, was it safe for her to move? "No, I've tried everything." The hysteria in those words concerned him. "Okay, listen. I know you're frightened, but try to stay calm. How badly are you hurt?"
"I'm not sure."
It sounded as though she couldn't suck in enough air to speak normally, but he couldn't tell if that came from fright, exhaustion, or injury.
"Help me, please."
He wanted to help. He just didn't know how. The shaft was too deep to reach her without rope, but if he hurried off to notify rescue personnel, he wasn't sure she'd be alive when he got back. Trying to bring others would take too much time. There was no place for a helicopter to land, and it wouldn't be easy to get an ambulance in here. A jeep or truck could make it, but even that would be a challenge in the dark. Flooding several years ago had washed away parts of the old road. But if he stayed, he'd soon lose all daylight, and he had no flashlight. Even if he managed to get the woman out, how would he transport her in the pitch black?
"Can you walk?"
he called. There was a slight delay.
"How far?"
"I'm wondering if you're mobile so I can assess the situation."
I'm mobile."
That made a difference. It meant she wasn't so badly off that he couldn't sit her on his bike and run alongside, if he could get to her. He was pretty sure he had a flashlight and a length of rope in his truck. He might even have food or something else that would come in handy. A sweatshirt would keep her warm, at least. He could use it if she didn't need it. It had been a nice day, hence his lightweight bike shorts and t-shirt, but it was growing colder by the minute.
"Sit tight," he called down. "I have to go to my truck, but I'll be back, I promise."
"Don't leave me."
Panic fueled those words.
"I'll be back," he repeated.
Tension tied his stomach into knots as he ignored her protests and clipped his feet into the pedals of his bike. The uneven ground and rocks and roots that offered the challenges he so enjoyed suddenly became unwelcome obstacles, jarring him despite the expensive shock absorbers on his bike. He was moving faster than ever before, especially through this stretch, where the riding was so technical, but he had no choice. If he didn't, he couldn't even think about what might happen if he didn't. He'd seen his brother's crushed head. They'd made the decision as a family not to have an open casket. Small pebbles scattered, churned up by his tires as he charged through patches of gravel. Hoping to shave off a few minutes, he climbed a steep embankment he typically tried only when he wanted maximum difficulty. He made it up and over the ridge and down the other side without mishap, but it felt as if it were taking forever to reach the highway. By the time the trail leveled out, his lungs burned and his quads shook, but he knew that had more to do with fear than physical exertion. He owned Crank It Up, a bike shop in Whiskey Creek, and raced mountain bikes professionally. Thanks to endless hours of training,